Okay, good morning. Let's continue in Perek Hey, and hopefully we will come close to finishing it today. We're talking about the simcha that one can have while one is meditating, and the simcha that should come is from, as he explains, from the Chovas Halvavas, that the Hasidim would contemplate and would look forward to their day of death. And he's been explaining this for a few days now, and to realize how false this world is. And I believe we got all the way where I'm Nun Dalet, the middle of the page, Kisha Adam Ma'amid, right in the middle of Nun Dalet. Kisha Adam Ma'amid La'atzmo Tachlis Achas B'chaim. If a person can set up for himself that there's only one goal in life, that he seeks out Hashem with his whole heart, and everything in life, everything in life he measures, he values in terms of how much closeness to Hashem will it bring him to, and how much will it not bring him to. If a person looks at everything in life like that, then pisom mishtanim pnei hadvarim lachalutim. Then everything, the face of everything, changes totally. Mashi b'mabet ha'pashut be'enei shebe'enei kol adam nira ke'esek tova matzliach. That which a simple eye appears to be a good and successful thing to get engaged in. Be'enei ha'mavakesh Hashem, and the guy who seeks out Hashem, elu yisurim shlo yalev. These are sufferings that should never come upon the heart. In other words, with the wrong view of life, when you look at the eye, when you look at the world with the eyes of the world of falseness, you say, this looks like a good thing to get involved in. But if you look at it through the eyes of a person who wants to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they say, this is the worst thing I could get involved in. That's how we ended yesterday. With, you know, if we gave you $20,000 to buy the party center, we gave you $20,000, not you paid. You shouldn't take it, because, you know, running a party center, it's your whole life gets taken over by that kind of business. And you shouldn't take it for no money in the world, because that thing is not going to get you closer to Hashem. Right? So, Amavit Tzorech Lios Yosher, the view of a person has to be a straight view. Tzorech Lahargalos Amachshav, you got to get your thoughts trained. La'at la'at la'tara salev, and slowly, slowly you have to purify your heart. That the measuring stick for anything that stands in front of a person in this world, the way you value everything in this world, is the following. Does this thing bring me closer to Hashem, or does this thing take me further away from Hashem? Gam esa kesef, even money, you have to incorporate into that view. Is money going to bring me closer or further away? Money is one of the tools that can bring a person close to Hashem. It can also do the opposite. But it's not an independent point. Money is not an entity in and of itself. That's not what it is. It is part of the tools that you have in this world, and you have to make sure to use that tool right. So now he's going to give an example or two to help us appreciate this concept. Hamishkol Hamiti, the true measuring stick in everything in life, Mahu Ritzon Hashem, what is the will of Hashem? And that will help us define all these things in this world. If we always ask ourselves the question, what is the will of Hashem in this situation, then you will be able to understand if this tool is meant to be used now or not. Let's give another example. A person is invited to a wedding at a certain date, a certain time. Okay, let's say, for example, he's talking, you know, about people who are kovei itim l'torah. So let's say, you know, you have a chavrusa Thursday night kollel every night. You're at Thursday night kollel. Okay, you come every night, you learn. That's your time to learn. You're invited to a wedding Thursday night. Okay. So miyadu choshev lasso. So now he thinks. Nu, yevshel alechas. It's not possible that I don't go to the wedding. I have to go to the wedding. It's somebody I know. Atzer hasheni, yivka, but the other side hits you. Right? I'm sorry. Hatzad Hashem Yivka, you're right, you'll insult the other party. Zeh chiyuv shel ben adam l'chavero. And this is the obligation between man and man. Chayav l'so, you gotta go. You gotta go to the wedding. It's my friend's son, it's having a bar mitzvah, I gotta go. Next page, Shunhei. Yochel liyo shamilim halal nechonos. It could be these words are correct. Avot tzuras hachashiva einena nechona klal klal. But the shape, the way you're thinking isn't correct at all. Can't you say, well, you know, the so-and-sos are making a bar mitzvah, I'm friends with them, I have to go. You may indeed go, but this isn't the reason why you go. It's not the reason why you go. Let's give you a way to understand how to look and make decisions according to the Torah. The first thing the person has to inspect upon himself is like, what's the calculation over here? Okay, what is entering into the equation of my decision? Lahamin is shnatzarim. You have to weigh the two sides. Yamin mul small, right against left. Have sharus arishona hilinso. The first possibility is to go to the wedding. Ligmol chesed imachazim mishpachto. To do kindness to the chasen and his family. Have sharus hashniyah. But the second thing is, hilashavas alon Torah. There's another thing you could have been doing, and that's learning Torah. You have a set time to learn Torah. So now, here is the way you ask the question. Since in whatever you decide to do, and in whatever you use of this world, going to a wedding is also making use of this world. A wedding is also a tool. And learning Torah is a tool. So the purpose of Hashem is that I should use these tools to get close to Hashem. So now the question is, Olav lamod v'livduk ma yosim makarv l'kono. Which activity will get me closer to Hashem? Is it what I'm going to learn tonight at Thursday night kol is going to get me closer to Hashem? Or will my doing a kindness to somebody else get me closer to Hashem? That's the question you have to ask. It's not that the second side will be insulted and therefore I have to go. The question is, what is going to get me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So now you gotta analyze it. Vadai certainly shamura Torah gavo memura chesed. Certainly, of the three pillars, the world stands on three pillars, Torah, Avod, and Gemilas Chasadim. Clearly, the pillar of Torah is greater than the pillar of kindness. Generally speaking. Avol einzos omer shetami tzarech l'shevis l'mav l'lachas l'chasim. But that doesn't mean we always learn and never go to a wedding. Can't say that. No one's ever gonna go to a wedding. We have a rule that we grab on with our hands. There's another rule that says any mitzvah that you can't have other people do the Torah, the mitzvah, you have to stop learning Torah for it. Right? Clearly, if it's your daughter's wedding, nobody else can be the father of the bride but you. Nobody else can really walk her down the chuppah but you. Right? So therefore, that's a no-brainer. You don't learn that. You don't learn that time. You have to be at the wedding. There's nobody else there. What if the person is going to make a wedding and there's going to be 800 people at this wedding and your relationship with them is casual? And as they say, you won't be missed at that wedding. I mean, instead of 800, it'll be 799. And some of these weddings, you can't even get your hand in to say mazel tov. Right? They know you, but it's, you know, you're not the closest of friends. Business associate. So then that's a different, so what do you mean? The wedding will go on without me. The wedding will go without me. It will be fine without me. I won't be missed. Yeah, of course there are people who always, you know, there are people who forever are insulted no matter what, and there's neurotic people who go through all 800 names, and they're saying, you know, I saw 800 came, but 50 didn't show up. I hate them forever for not going to that wedding. You know, that's not your problem. You know, you write in the reply card, I'm sorry, I have a previous engagement. Have another simcha. And you're not lying. I have a simcha of learning Torah. You try to have another, no one's insulting. I'm sorry, would have loved to come, but I have a previous engagement. So, if you're the father of the bride, you can't say I have a previous engagement. So what are you talking about? You're my father. How could you have another engagement? If you're a business associate, okay. So maybe, you know, it has to be away. Right? And if the wedding's in Concord, Ontario, and you're here, you say I'm out of town. Which is not a lie. You're out of town. You're not in Concord. You're in Thornhill. And that's how you deal with it. Right? Well, let me just read a little bit more for a minute. All right? But that's the question. So, Avola Mishko, Sheito, Adam, Tzarech, Lageshes, Liberinu. So what's the measuring stick from which the person approaches a way to decide this? There's always this question. Heichan ani eye yoser karv l'kodesh baruch hu. How will I be closer to Hashem? Kishe elech l'chasav. When I go to the wedding, okay, she eishev el matar, if I will sit and learn Torah. Right? That's how you make the decision. That's how you make every decision in life. What will get me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So, and sometimes you don't know the answer. That's when you're supposed to call the rabbi and say, Rabbi, here's the situation. What will get me closer? The rabbi knows many principles that you may not know about how to get close to Hashem. And he can make that decision for you. Or, you know, you say like this, listen, the wedding is at the bayit. And we know that weddings take 6 hours. And I'm not that close with them. I mean, I'm friends. And there's going to be plenty of people there. So I'll go to the wedding. And the truth is, I can't eat these dinners that start at 10 o'clock at night. That's not my system, eat dinner at dark. Or whatever. Not, it's too late. So, you know, and the kollel's right down the block. It's at 8:30, so I'll go to the wedding, and then at 8:30 I'll leave, and I'll come back at 10 o'clock. I will have been there for the chuppah, I've been there for the first dance, and whether you tell them, you know, I could be there for the chuppah, but I can't make it for the meal, whatever, and then you come back for the last dance, and you're at the wedding. There's a mitzvah to be there to eat every course at the wedding. Is that the Ratzon Hashem to eat a course at the wedding and not to learn Torah? If not, it's a mitzvah to dance, to be mesameh chasim v'kal, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah that the people, you don't want to offend the people. Fine. So you'll be there. Out of the 6 hours, you'll be there for four. And I don't think they're watching you every minute at the wedding. You gave them a mazel tov after the, you come to the kabbalah's panim, you give the father a hug and a mazel tov. After the chuppah, you give another hug and another mazel tov. You're there for the first dance. They probably got a picture of you even. Right? Okay, now the first, you're out for the second course. Or you leave for the meal. You learn your Torah. You come back for the last dance. You say mazel tov to the family again. You've said mazel tov three times to them. You've danced twice with them. But you didn't waste your time at the smorgasbord or at this and that. And you were learning Torah. And that's the Ratzon Hashem. The Ratzon Hashem is always, Efshel Lekayim Shneim, can you do both? That's the Ratzon Kodesh Baruch. That's what people should be doing. I don't know why they don't do it. What do? You sit at a table with a bunch of people and make small talk for an hour. Is that the Ratzon? It's the Ratzon Hashem to sit at a wedding, to make small talk with people when you could be learning Torah. That's not the Ratzon of Hashem. But I had to be at the wedding. Okay, so you were at the wedding. You were at the chuppah. You were at the first dance. And you were there. Your presence was felt. Now, what if you're, you know, so there's always, that's the way you get close to Hashem. You always ask, what does Hashem want me to do at this wedding, at this event? And then it's not a question, and that's what the next paragraph is saying. He says, Kiras Hashem eina kavona dafka b'hergeshim. Getting close to Hashem is not, specifically by feelings. You don't make these decisions by how you feel. Certainly, it's much easier to sit in the base medrash and learn Torah. And to have higher thoughts. It's a lot easier to be spiritually up there when you're in a base medrash learning than, you know, driving through the streets to go to a wedding. And you, let's say you're a learner. You like to learn. It's your pleasure. So you feel much closer to Hashem learning than you know, taking the car, driving to the wedding, going over there, you're making small. Aval kirvas Hashem nimdedes mikdos emes, but closeness to Hashem is not measured by what you feel. It's measured by the true measuring point. Ma ratzna barabinu, what does Hashem want? Right? Lanasas tomit leskarv la emes l'kodesh baruch, to get constantly closer to the truth of Hashem. Even the other way is a lot harder. Pachas noch is less restful. In pachas hargeshim, you have less feelings towards it. Also, so you still do it. Because that's the truth. And you have to connect yourself to the truth of the world, which is the truth of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? And that's how you make every decision in life. And when you use that measuring stick, there's no shalom bias problems. There's no problems. There's no problems in your marriage. There's no problem how to run a shul. If you're always asking yourself, what's the ratzon of Hashem over here? Right? You know, your wife wants you to spend $2,000 on a new couch. You want the money and you'll tell the school you don't have enough money for tuition. And you say, I want to pay the tuition. Whatever the argument is. So you say, what's the Ratzon Hashem? What's going to get me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What's going to get me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Having a new couch? And the other couch is okay. It's functional. It works. You don't have feathers coming out of it, you know, or whatever. It's not falling apart. Okay, it's not brand new anymore. It's a bit worn down. There's no holes. Doesn't look like it looked 15 years ago. Okay, it doesn't. But does Hashem want you? So you have to ask. You have to ask a Shiloh, what is the Ratzon Hashem over here? And not every case is it simple. Because every person comes with a bias. So let's say the wife, you know, she really, because her friends all got new couches this year, so she wants a new couch. Mm-hmm. Right? You, on the other hand, you don't want to go to the school and ask for a handout. You want to pay the full tuition. So each one has a bias when they're coming into this Shiloh. The wife feels awkward because her friends talk about their new couches and she doesn't have. The husband doesn't want to be a schnorr going to the tuition committee and asking for a break. Neither of them really are thinking of the Ratzon Hashem over here. They each think about their own personal needs. So now if you go to the rabbi, ask a Shiloh, so the rabbi's going to say, okay, so now let's discuss what's the Ratzon Hashem. What's the Ratzon Hashem? And he's going to look at it. How does the couch fit in to the Mishkan that you're building in this house? And how does paying tuition to the school fit into your obligations of chinuch to your child? And then you have to make a decision based on this particular situation of what would be the best thing. And sometimes the answer is different depending on the people involved. You know. Let's say the rabbi knows that the husband is not very nice to his wife. He knows that the husband is not very nice to his wife. And he needs to learn to be more sensitive to her. And he knows that the wife is a little bit slightly bordering on the manic depressive side. You know? So he's going to say, you know what? Getting a new couch will help the marriage so much more. And the guy should learn a little bit. And you know what? After 15, 20 years, we're entitled to a new couch. Really? I mean, it's not it's not crazy. In a way, you know, they are. So he may say, you know, you should buy the new couch. He may. But if he understands that really the husband and wife, they love each other. And the wife just got caught up, you know, she had a momentary lapse of her dedication to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And really she's a wonderful person. But you know, human being is human being. And she got caught up with all the other friends getting, because the other friends didn't ask Shilas. And if the other friends would ask Shilas, everybody would have said no to them also. Right? So that, and really what's more important is to pay the tuitions. And that's really the more important thing to do. He would tell that family, you pay the tuition. Right? That's why you wonder, why do you got to ask the rabbi all the time? It's so simple. It's not simple. Because it's hard to determine what the Ratzon Hashem is when you always walk in quite fast with your own biased Ratzon. So go try to figure out the will of Hashem. Right? I had a case recently with a family. You don't know them. They wanted to buy a young family. You don't know them. They're not part of our community. But I know them. Rabbi knows a lot more people in his community. Out of his community. So they wanted to... They live around here. and they wanted to move a small condo, and they want to move into, the wife wanted to move the house. So what did she do? And it's the wife's condo, it's not the husband's condo. So she already sold the condo. So the husband sends me an email, you know, my wife sold a condo, and we put an offer already, put an offer on a house. And I'm not that comfortable with it. He waited that long to finally ask me the shiloh after they put an offer. So where did they put an offer on the house? They put the offer on Langstaff in Dufferin. Langstaff in Dufferin. And there you could get a small little detached house for a face, you know, $370,000. So, and the husband says, you know, and they're Bali Tshuva, and they're on the way, and they're Shomer Shabbos and keep kosher, but not old time Bali Tshuvas. So they were thinking, the husband kind of liked living in this area. He doesn't go to our shul, but he goes somewhere else. So why is he asking me the shaila? No, but he likes to be in this area, and he felt that the Yiddishkeit would be better there. The wife says, no, there's a Chabad rabbi over there. There's always the answer, there's a Chabad rabbi over there, right? And it's a new and upcoming community, and we'll be on the ground floor, blah, 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 blah. So I said to them, I said, you know, if your wife is amenable, if you want me to talk to me about it, I'll talk to you about it. So fine. So they talked about it. So I sat them down, and I said to the woman, okay, tell me, what is it that you want? So she tells me a list of what she wants. The condo is too cramped. She wants to have a nice, comfortable house. She needs her space a little bit. They only had a one-bedroom condo. She wants to have... So if you ask them what they want, you can catch them. You know what I'm saying? I want to have a nice place to raise my children. Oh, good. I'm glad she said that. So, and whatever. And want to have people our age and friends our age and this and that. And then the husband said, what do you want? So he says, well, I want a lot of the same things too, but, you know, I want to be with my chevra. I want this. He says, okay, now I heard what you want. Do you want to hear what Hashem wants? If you don't want to hear what Hashem wants, then have a nice day. But if you're asking me, you want to hear what Hashem wants. So it sounds like what Hashem wants. Hashem wants, they don't have any kids yet. I said, Hashem wants you to have a lot of children. I said, you know what Hashem wants from you? He said, you should have many children. And that you should educate them in the best way possible, to give them the best possible environment that your children can become wonderful children. And you're going to want to send your kids to a school like Eitz Chaim of that sort, or whatever. That's what Hashem's going to want from you. Right? And it turns to the husband, and Hashem wants you to go to shul every day, wants this every day. So I say, do you know what neighborhood you're moving into? He says, well, you know, there's not one Orthodox Jew that I know of that has the Shiloh that lives there. I say, what kind of chevra are you going to have over there? Bunch of Israelis and Russians over there who aren't religious. Nothing against Israelis and Russians who aren't religious, but that's not a place for you to live. You don't live in a neighborhood where there's not an abundance of Shomrei Torah mitzvahs, right? And so they didn't realize it, you know, or maybe they didn't bother to think. I said, did you see? Is there a shul over there? Well, you know, we could walk. I said, do you know that even if they are going to build an A-roof, they're going to build an A-roof in Block 10, you know, north, but it's only going to go until Dufferin and not past that, you won't even be in the A-roof. And you're planning on having kids and not be in the A-roof? What are you going to do on Shabbos? I said, how far is it to walk to a shul from that place? 35 minutes. You think your husband's going to go to shul Friday night? Is he going to go even Shabbos in the day? There's no way to go to shul. I said, so what are you going to have? You're going to have your nice, comfortable home with all your Israelis and Russians. And you're not going to have any chevra. You have nothing for your kids. Blah, blah, blah. And I do the whole shtick with them. I say, now, is that what Hashem wants?
Tell them to call me. So, I can give them some advice.
So I said, so what's the Ratzon Hashem? So I said, the Ratzon Hashem is you should live in this area. The Ratzon Hashem is live in this area. But it's much more expensive here. So the Ratzon Hashem is, you know what? Okay, move into a two-bedroom condo. So you'll have a little bit of privacy. You got to take in mind the person's needs. Okay, you want to have a little bit more. But I don't like living in a condo. I said, you know what? You're married how long? A year? You know, it wasn't until I was married 6 years till I got to move into a house. So you know what? You're not that far ahead. And you're not making that much money. And I started talking about the financial risks of a giant mortgage and what if you get pregnant, blah, 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 blah. And I said, you know what? You're not entitled to a house yet. That's all. God doesn't want you to live in a house right now. You're not making that kind of money. You don't have that kind of thing. And he doesn't want you to live in a house. And I said, then I asked another question. I said, did you ask your parents that maybe they'll help you with the purchase of a house? So the guy says, yeah, my dad said he'd help. And the wife says, but I don't want to take from him. So I said, why not? I said, what's the Ratzon Hashem? If you're going to tell me that the dad can give some money, and the mom can give, and the other side can give some money, and you have a little bit more money, then you could buy a small little house in this area. Did it occur to you? Like, not thinking. You know, a person just does things. I want to have that house. The housing issue is there. But what would the buyer says? I don't want to ask for help. I don't want to this. I don't want to that. And they were going to buy that house. They were going to buy that house. You know? So when I got finished with them, they said, okay, we're not buying that house. Okay? So I'm just saying, it's an example of how you have to analyze. You have to sit down with people and say, what is the Ratzon Hashem? A house is something that could get you close to Hashem. There's nothing wrong with a house. Right? A house is neutral. Now the question is, okay, and eventually, you know, everybody should live in some kind of a house, if possible, if you have a job, should live in some kind of a house. But you have to buy a house. So it wasn't where they wanted, you know, it wasn't the way they wanted that house. That's not, but you have to know, what's the Ratzon Hashem? I mean, buy a little nice house, you know, somewhere on York Hill Boulevard, right, and you're near all the shuls, and you're near everything, and this and that. And that's the Ratzon Hashem for you guys. And that's where he wants you to live. And he wants you to ask your parents to help you. And et cetera, et cetera. So that's a clear example of, are you looking through the eyes of what the Ratzon Hashem is? Are you looking through the true eyes? Or looking from your own eyes? Your own eyes, you have these visions of a nice little house, a nice quiet home, a nice, you know, yeah. Then I start telling me, do you know how long it's going to get in 5 years after this whole area is developed? You know how long it's going to get just to go from there to go to Bathurst and Clark? To go to Sobeys? You know, just run to get a quart of milk or something from Sobeys, something kosher from Sobeys. You know, it's going to be like a Friday afternoon to go from Langstaff and Dufferin to Sobeys. It might take 20 minutes to get there, right? And if you live on York Hill Boulevard, it takes you 1 minute. They don't think. So that's how you measure the value of things, and that's how you measure this world and everything else in this world, right? Very, very important tool here. Very important to learn.
Yeah, but right. If I had to do it all over again 15 years ago, I wouldn't have bought the house.
Okay, but 15 years ago, you weren't ready to ask Shilas.
Yep.
And that's the difference. People think I have a big ego that people should ask me Shilas because then I feel like I'm an important person. Believe me, I don't have time for any of this, but you have to make the time, right? But you see how people really, you know, make bad decisions. Time and time again, that are just not good for their spiritual welfare, and because they don't ask, and that's all. That's all the rabbi does is he focuses you on the Ratzon Hashem. That's all. That's all. But he has the way to look at things and to realize that when you start off with a home and you're not near religious people, who your kids going to play with, what are they going to be influenced by, and this determines, you know, what schools you send your kids to, and who they get, and what high schools they go to, and what yeshivas they go to, and who they get married to, blah, 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 blah. And people think they're very smart, and they know all this of how to decide. But the answer is, they don't want to know. That's the real answer. They don't want to know. And that's what's missing in many people's lives. Okay. So now he gives another example. Bishosh Avram Avinu Kibal Archim. When Avram Avinu took in those guests in the beginning of Parshas Vayera, we know what was the story. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yehoya Etzel. Hashem was with him. It was the third day after the Mila. Vayera Hashem al Avram. Hashem appeared to Avram. This was, Hashem was what he was visiting the city. Meaning Avram was having prophecy. He was having prophecy. There's nothing more special in your life than getting a prophetic vision from God. There's nothing more pleasurable. That's it. That is the Kirvas Elohim Litov. You can't do better in this world than being in a prophetic state. And he left HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? And the Gemara learns a principle from this Mishum. Because greater is taking guests in your house than even being able to receive the countenance of the Divine Presence. The Ratzon of Hashem is that you should serve some Arabs some food is more important than being in a prophetic state. Why? All the reason for that, we're not going to get into that now. But that's the principle. That is the principle. So Avinis Bonin, let's think about this. What was the thought that came before Avram Avinu? What was he thinking? To go or not to go? That is the question. That wasn't the question. This was the question. How will I truly be closer to Hashem? Lo mitzad hargeshim, not by using feelings. Because certainly, when you receive the divine presence, hargeshim lechayre yaser gvoim hargeshim mechnas orchem. The feelings, the good feeling you feel, the spiritual feeling is probably a higher spiritual feeling than by taking an Arab guests. Aval Avram vino, but Avram shechipes, next page, S.I.M.S., but he looked for the truth. Kirves Hashem amitis. He wanted true closest to Hashem. Bira l'asmo. He was able to decide for himself. Himakodesh Baruch Hu ma'adif shiyishar kan. Does Hashem prefer that you remain in the prophetic state? Osheyuch l'kayim mitzvah l'zorchim. Or does Hashem prefer that you go to the mitzvah of visiting guests? Taking guests in. What is it that will make you, me, closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that one's even tougher, because Avram was in the middle of enjoying one. Decide to go to the shir in the middle of the wedding while you're dancing is not as easy as before you've gone to the wedding. So he's enjoying being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's mamish in it. He's in the nexus. He's in that great feeling. You know, it's that Star Trek, I think it was Star Trek movie number 7, where Captain Kirk got into a big accident by a wave of, the Nexus was this place that they visioned as Olam Haba. The Nexus is a world, it's not a real world, but your fantasies are fulfilled. So Kirk got wiped out by a wave of Nexus. So he's in this world where you can do whatever you like, right? Meanwhile, the next generation captain, Picard, he has this mission. He's got to stop this guy from destroying a planet of 2 billion people because he wants to do some scientific experiment. I can't beat this guy myself. The only guy that can help me is Captain Kirk, who's in the Nexus. So he gets to the Nexus, and he's watching Captain Kirk, who's doing all the things he always wanted to do in his life. He's chopping wood. He has an old girlfriend he gave up because he wanted to have a career in going into space. Right? So, and the guy says, I need you to go out. So they said, and it's impossible to get anybody out of the Nexus because it's so pleasurable, you can't get them out. Because this is what they really want. Okay, so finally he's able to prove it was all not real, and the guy was masking to go. He went out of the Nexus. They saved the world, but he got killed anyway. Whatever. But I'm just saying, when you're in the middle of it, it's very hard to make that decision. Right? You have to do it before you get involved in it. And before you send the reply card, you say, I have to ask a Shiloh. It's Thursday night. I learned Thursday night. You just go to a wedding? Just don't go to a wedding. I mean, I'm not saying you're not going to go to the wedding, but you have to weigh it. It's not, you have to think, what? No, yep, we're going. What do you mean, yep, you're going? I mean, what about learning Torah? And you have this, right? You have this, you could be and it's not just missing one time. You could be on a roll, learning every Thursday for 3 months. You know what happens? Once you miss one time, then all of a sudden the Yetzirah, it's easier to miss the second time and the third time. And countless times you see people who are really on a good roll, and because there's a chas, this and that, all of a sudden that's it. You don't see them for months again. Sometimes it's more than the night. It's more than a night. It disturbs the routine. And when the routine is lost, and then you're not going to be learning for months. Right? So that's a difficult thing.
But if you're in a prophetic vision, aren't you already closer to Hashem?
Okay, I don't want to get into the logic of why Hachnasas Orchim is better. Right? You know, there's enjoying the reward of being close to Hashem, and then it's doing the work of Hashem. And that's even greater. That's even greater. Anyway, Nasnu Kamakam, because we've given many examples. Achzuras ha-chashiva tzrichlis achas. But the important vision that we have to look at things is one. Miboker vad laila, from morning to night. Mi laila ad boker, from night to day. V'chaleis v'chaleis, at every moment. Hachlota v'gishol chol dover tzrichlis al pi ashichol. Your decisions and your approach to everything has to be with the following weighing. Does this thing bring me closer to Hashem or the opposite? That's the question. Haschar hamuftachu, the guaranteed reward for a person is as King Solomon says, ish lafi mahalalo, everybody according to what he praises. The pasuk over there says, you know, it's possible to refine gold and it's possible to refine silver. In other words, if you see a block of gold or a block of silver, how valuable is it? You can measure how valuable it is. Refine it and purify it. You'll see how much actual gold is there, how much garbage is there. You can always tell what something's worth. So the question, how can you tell what a person's worth? How can you tell what a person's worth? How much are you worth? So very simple. Ish lefi mahalalo. Each person according to what he praises. Just watch him. Just eavesdrop and listen to what he talks about. What does he talk about at the Kiddush? Does he talk about the maple leaves? And then he talks about his business. He talks about that on Shabbos. Then you know what he's not worth. Right? If the guy is talking about the rabbi's drush and he's thinking about it, or he's saying, you know, I was learning the Rambam this week. This is his chit-chat. You know, it's only a Rambam, let me share the Rambam with you. You know, then you know what he's worth. Right? You know, they say, you know, I got tickets to the latest rock concert. I was one of the first ones to get it. That's what he talks about. Or he says, you know, there's a great shiur next week. May you want to go to the shiur and I'll go with you? You know, what excites a person? That defines who he is. Ish lefi mahalalo. Lefi mashu mahalal mishabech. Based on what he praises. What is it he yearns for? That really is the ultimate definition of the person. When a person realizes that this world in and of itself, as its own goals, does not bring him closer to Hashem. Right? Then, so who lo yifrosh mimenu mikoch nekudasas, he doesn't leave the world from a sad perspective, Eliyivrish men of a simcha, but he leaves the world out of a sense of joy. Madua, why? Who mevin makiru margish? He understands, he recognizes, and he feels. Sha'olam azeh marchik also mekadosh baruch hu karvaso, that this world distances himself from Hakadosh Baruch Hu and does not bring himself in and of itself. The physical world in and of itself without a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without physical connection, it distances you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, when you think about leaving this world, it's a happy thought. Divrei HaChovas HaLovas, back to what we said in the beginning of the week, of the Chovas HaLovas, Shetzuras Chayav Shel Chassid, what is the outlook of the Chassid? Shebechol Yom V'Yom Mishtokek Lifredes HaGuf Min HaShama, every day he yearns for the body to leave the soul. And that the spirit will return back to the God who gave it to him. To truly go back to Hashem. This is not a high level for anybody who's really looking for the truth. If you're looking for the truth, this is Dover Pashut. It's a simple concept. This is a level that every Jew should be on. Shechai betzura pshuta shalchipus kiras lakim, who lives with the simple vision of searching out and being close to Kodesh Baruch. Kesha adam yodea shaguf mali mal neshama. When a person knows that the body elevates the soul, not elevates, hides. I'm sorry. Shaguf malim al neshama, that the body hides the neshama. Umalim al kirvas Hashem, and it hides the closeness of Hashem. Vamita simatz yisbarach, and the ability to find God truthfully. Humadif es pratus an neshama in aguf, he will hold of a higher value the separation of the soul from the body, masherli hishar b'toch aguf, than for it to remain in the body. That would be the accurate answer person has. Again, we're not saying that you should hate your body, and we're not saying you should hate this world. What we're saying is that all this whole world is merely a tool. That's all it is. And living in this world is fraught with dangers. Because if these tools are viewed as anything but a tool, and you don't use it to connect yourself to Hashem, you're drinking the salty water, and you're loving this world, and it's taking you away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So you're happy to be in this world to the extent that that's, in other words, the truth is, the neshama, when it's up in the Shemaim, it doesn't want to come down to this world, because it knows it's a world of salt water. And Hashem says, doesn't matter, you're here for a reason, and I get to work and go down. And as long as you're here, that's the mission of us. Al-Karach at-anolet, against your will, you're born, but against your will, you're taken from this world. Because when you're a neshama, you don't want to go into this world. But then when you're in this world and you get sucked into what this world is all about, then you like this world and you don't want to leave this world. You got to realize you're in this world because that's the Ratzon Hashem. So why should you get up happy? You should say, God, how come I didn't die overnight? You're going to ask, so I should be depressed. God, you didn't kill me overnight. That would have been the best thing. No, it's not. You know what? You know what's best. So you know what? So you want me to live another day? Okay, if that's what you say, I have to do it b'simcha. It's b'simcha. I'll be b'simcha. I have a chance to do more mitzvahs. And I know I gotta be careful and not to fall into traps and to see the truth, and I'll see the truth, and I'll work my heart, and I'll work with the tools, and another day I'll work with the tools. And I'm happy to do what you want because I love you and I want to get close to you, and you understand better than me. But if Hashem, if you ever give me the offer, you know, then I'll take the offer. I won't fight with you because you know what? Because that's what I'm looking for all my life, and I'm finally happy to be able to make it. Okay, we got another section to go to finish up this chapter, and then hopefully there'll be time, and we will make time for discussion on this, so we can internalize this and walk through this and to make it feel part of our lives.